second reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 12 to 15. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hi, good afternoon. I spoke briefly yesterday with our previous Assistant Minister, Chris Spark, at David's ordination. He was in good heart, you'd like to know, and as we chatted, I discovered that just over a month ago, he spoke on this very passage. And he said the bit that talks about how the church should treat their leaders. And he said it felt kind of awkward as their leader doing that. Well, as I said, I don't feel awkward at all. Isn't God? It's like this book I can recommend. The book your pastor wishes you would read, but is too embarrassed to ask, by Chris Rash. So this sermon is the sermon your minister would like to give, but feel rather awkward giving. I know this passage, when Paul speaks to those in Christian leadership, is actually broader than just the idea of paid ministry staff. But today I'd like to focus our attention on how we as a church bless our staff. How we can hold our pastor teachers amongst us in the highest regard and love. I should say also how good it has been for me as church warden to consider this passage, to consider how we love and respect and bless our staff. It's a key role for wardens and vestry, as I just said before, but I think as we'll see, it's a key role for the whole church. So as I ask you to respect and love those over you in the Lord, there's three fingers pointing back at me. I'm quite aware of that. Let's pray that what I say about the word would help you and me in this role. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, may your word impact our hearts today so that we might love those who minister your word amongst us more and more. May that love spring up into joyful, humble, repentant that brings peace amongst us and fills our staff team with joy in their work. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm sure you might have thought it, if you haven't actually asked it out loud, what does our ministry team do all week? I mean, 20-minute talk, some Bible studies, a few cups of tea and coffee. To think of it, they haven't asked me for a cup of coffee recently. But it completely fails, doesn't it? It completely fails to know what's involved in Bible-based ministry, the strains and pressures that are part of that ministry. In fact, according to Paul in his letter to the Thessalonians, the question, what does your minister do all week, is the wrong way around. It's more like, to misquote JFK, ask not what your ministry team can do for you, but what can you do for your ministry team? Yes, in 1 Thessalonians, Paul asks us that question, what does a group of believers do for their pastor teachers, their ministry team? What can you do? And it's wonderful. He models this for us beautifully in 1 Thessalonians. There's a whole pile of examples of him modeling what believers do for a minister. See, what do the Thessalonians do for Paul? It's in the very second verse. We always thank God for all of you. His joy is when they're growing in the love of the Lord. What keeps them awake are the trials he knows they're facing. What that they could turn them from the Lord. He lives and breathes again when he hears they're hanging in there. He marvels that they hang in there. He feels their tough persecution position because of the gospel stand they've taken. And it's kind of his fault, right? Because he told them about the gospel. And when he hears they stand firm, they encourage Paul. Their humble, costly following of Jesus spurs Paul on. It helps him. See, that's what a group of believers can do for those who work hard ministering to the word to them. they can encourage their pastor teachers. We can encourage our staff team. So God's people in Thessalonica in southern Greece had only spent probably, Timothy had only spent probably 2 to 3 weeks with them previously, encourage him. We hear in the first chapters of Paul and Timothy poured their lives into these people in these fellowship. Like a nursing mother, he says, like a caring father, sharing the gospel and their whole lives with them. They were all in. And now Paul writes this letter. He separated from them. They stand in the gospel, turning from idols, and these stories are being told all around the Med to other believers. See that phrase very early on in chapter 1, your faith in God is known everywhere. What an encouragement. If you're a coach and you hear some good news about a former athlete, have you heard how good Susan is? And the coach smiles when she hears this. They coached Susan, she says. And now they speak of my pupil in awe. It's wonderful to get that sort of feedback, isn't it? Indirect feedback. Have you heard about the Thessalonians, Paul? They turn from idols and they face persecution for the gospel. Oh, God sent you there. Oh, you must have such joy, Paul. That's the sort of encouragement that the Thessalonians give Paul, and he needs it. He fears. He was afraid for them. See that verse? He fears and prays continually. He can hardly breathe when he does not know how they're doing. And now Timothy's returned with the good news, and he knows they stand firm, and he really lives. He can breathe again. See, this is what it's like for someone in word ministry, for someone who leads others in the Lord, who pours their life away for others to know Jesus, when they see people standing firm in faith in hard times. God's people encourage them. There are fears, there is wrestling and prayer, and there's moments of joy and delight. And that's what it's like for our staff team. When you hang in there during trials, when you are challenged or even annoyed by the sermon or the Bible that points out your sin in your life, and then you very obviously turn in repentance and faith, when they see that the word of God has gone to work on you like that, and you wrestle and you submit to the Lord, man, does that build up your staff team. So it's kind of strange to hear Paul exhort them, verse 12 and 13. Have a look at it with me. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you and care for you in the Lord and admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. So all the news from Timothy is that when it comes to Paul, they are doing these things. They love and long for him. They remember him fondly, even though their faith was costing them heaps. And yet they hold him in highest regard and they send him love. Why does he say it? Why does he tell them to honour the leaders amongst them and respect those who minister among them? Why tell them something that they seem to be doing? Why? Because it must be important. Has anyone said to you, you didn't need to tell me that, I already knew? And you're thinking, well, I said it because it's important. And I think it's so important, I'll say it to you again, even though I know you know. Trinity, you love our staff team. You care for them, you're generous towards them. I am not constantly fighting for you to love and respect our staff. Just like Paul says to the Thessalonians when he asks them to live to please God in the way they're living and says do so more and more, it's the same when I speak of these things. Many of you are already showing this loving respect over those in those who are over us in the Lord. But I ask you to consider how you can do it more and more. And that's what we need to do. What can we do to bless their work? And that's my first point. My first point is we've got to love submitting to the word. Love submitting to the word. Those who are following the notes will see I've changed the order of my points. Have a look again at verses 12 and 13. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard amongst you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. See that? They care for you in the Lord and admonish you. We need pastor teachers that will keep a careful watch over our lives. They love us enough and care for us enough that in the Lord their care will include godly admonishing. Their hard work means they care for you in the Lord. Their goal is that the Lord Jesus be formed in you. and that you would grow in work produced by faith, labour, love, and endurance inspired by hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, just like those Thessalonians. They care for you in the Lord, and that means, like Paul, they care so much they want to know what you anxiously pray for. They care when your faith is under attack. They care when you are rejoicing in the Lord. Caring means they will actually expose their lives in front of you, an audience, every week, a study or a one-to-one or like this preaching, and they'll lay out some of the way God's words is challenging them, calling them. They care for you and the Lord enough to take the risks of opening their lives up, opening a word like that. How will you and I respond? Holding them at arm's length? It's very nice for you to share that openly, Dave, but that feels a bit uncomfortable. Or lovingly pulling them in and lovingly submitting to the good word they're shared. See, their hard work also means they admonish. They point you back to Jesus when you're being distracted by the idols of this world. And now, admonishing someone who you find annoying and who you don't care about, that's easy. I do that all the time with drivers on mobile phones. All they see is the cyclist going, or probably like that. But admonishing someone you care about, someone you fear will respond when their sin is pointed out, that's hard. That's no light work. Dave did this once for me, one-to-one. Took me aside, admonished me. He was right. It was sin. It must have been hard. I didn't like it. I love him for it now. The scary thing is, he's not done it enough because I haven't opened up enough to him about other areas. If that's never happened to you, a pastor, teacher, a trusted godly leader who's in your life, if they've never admonished you, why? Do you think you don't need admonishing, ever? Or is it because you've kept your life closed off? We should lovingly submit to God's admonishment, godly admonishment. Let me read for you this quote from that book. That Christopher Ash put so well, I hope my pastor teachers will preach and admonish to me from the word with such depth of insight into the things of God, such wise knowledge of the human condition, such perceptive reflections on contemporary culture, that as I sit under such admonishing preaching, my heart will be warmed, my mind exposed, and my whole worldview deeply, lastingly converted. That's the sort of caring admonishing in the Lord that Paul says those who work hard in the Lord will do. That'll stretch the energies of the most gifted pastor. It's no light work. But it's what you should want for your ministry team to do for you. Well, do you? Do I? Because you realize that's the reason they got into ministry. I'll just go back one. The reason they got into ministry was that God would be using them to bring honor to God by leading people to walk in the truth, leading people to fresh faith in Jesus and honest repentance, as they themselves are seeking to do. They got into ministry to lead people with them to follow humbly after Jesus. So are you willing to obey Paul's teaching? Am I willing to acknowledge those who work hard amongst us by loving to submit to God's word as they share it with us? Week by week, this is hard work. They must apply the word to their own heart. They must consider carefully how they can be winsomely warm. I love that phrase. And winsomely warm our hearts to submit to God's word. And because church practices mostly expository preaching through sections of the Bible, like we've been working through Thessalonians, it means we don't get to skip the hard parts. The word decides the agenda. We don't skip an unpalatable bit. Ooh, Jesus is talking about hell. We won't go there. How will you respond? So our team doesn't have that option. So my second, how are we going to respond? If we're going to loving submitting to the word, how do we respond? Well, we're going to love that work among us. Love that work among us. Have another look at verse 12. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you. Some translations put just the word know. Ask you, brothers and sisters, to know those who work hard among you. Acknowledge. So notice, know, respect. The loving thing to do is to know about what they do among us. Know about the hard work they do. If they care for you in the Lord and work hard like our staff team too, then take some time to know about that hard work and love it. When you know someone has worked really hard on something for your benefit, it develops and deepens relationship, doesn't it? When you come to realize how much hard work it took, you appreciate them more and more. It's like listening to an instrument you've tried to learn to play, hear it being played by an expert. And it just sounds all the better, doesn't it? Because you realize how much hard work's gone in the background to make it sound that good. Have you ever considered how much hard work is required in gospel ministry? There's no clocking out as people's urgent pastoral needs and no respecter of time of day or week or year. And then there's the necessity to teach each week in small groups and one-to-one and the whole church. It's hard work. The work of preparing God's word to us each week and the music, all these things that speak to us, it's hard work. So if we've decided we're going to love submitting to the word as taught by those who care for us, how do we show we love that work among us? Well, let me give you some very practical points. Why not take one or two of these and run with them? Okay, here's number one, committed belonging. You and I have no idea what a motivating effect our simple, regular presence can have on the ministry team. It's like preaching to the converted, though, because you're here. Are you a person who has never been to a quarterly prayer meeting? Do you realise what an enormous encouragement it would be if you came? Those who would normally come, keep coming. But the people who have never come, when you turn up, wow, that's awesome. Your presence here today, even today, is a great encouragement theme. Therefore, commit to the loving ministry, the ministry of just turning up. And how about when you can't, when you're away? How about taking the time and effort to download or listen to that talk online and then send an email to say how it impacted you? This next example I found deeply challenging in the book, Christopher Ash's book. He says, I know of someone who actually let their pastor know when they're going to be away. We are going to be away this Sunday caring for grandchildren. We shall be praying for you as you preach for the church and as they meet, and we are sorry to be away. That kind of message demonstrates that they truly regard church as a meeting to which they are committed. And that's a huge encouragement to pastors. So committed belonging, the ministry of just turning up. Open honesty. Weekly our staff team open themselves up. There's an openness and transparency when teaching from God's word, especially when it's impacted the preacher like it does for our team. Love their work by opening up to them, as I've already said. Let them into your life. Tell them about the sin you wrestle with, that the word is highlighted for you. They open up their lives. Let's acknowledge them and bless them and encourage them by opening up ourselves and ask them to pray for you. So honesty, committed, commitment, open, honest, loving kindness. Think for a moment what act of kindness, just normal kindness, you could do for our ministry team. If you're the person, here's some examples. If you're a person who sends lots of texts to lots of people, but you've never sent a text to one of our ministry team, why not do that? If you're the sort of just a word of thanks for what they did. If you're the sort of person who's never written an email to one of our staff, or even better, send it to the general info at Trinity account, just saying thanks for something that happened, they did on Sunday, or something that challenged or encouraged you to love Jesus more, why not do that? Oh, and please leave out the bit about the song you don't like and the temperature of the building. Just have the bit saying thank you. If you're the sort of person who's never waited round after church to speak in person to one of the team, to ask them, why not do that? Why not ask them to pray for you? They'd love to. But here's the one that I am super terrible at. I'm super terrible at remembering that most Wednesdays, I think it's Wednesday evening, is when the Trinity update email comes out. Is that right? Is it Wednesday? Why not put a reminder in to commit yourself to reading and praying over that email? And reply to it once in a while and tell the writer that you're praying over it. A goldmine of prayer items you can pray for. But there's one thing in that email that all of us should do. We should pray over this week's passage. It's right there in the Wednesday update email. Pray over that passage. Read it, pray over it, and pray for the preacher as they press home God's good word for our church and our hearts. I'm really thankful to those of you here who've prayed for me this week. God's answered your prayer in my heart. He's changed me. So this is just some of the ways you can love their work among us. So how can we acknowledge those who work hard among us, to hold them in highest regard? We can love their work. But there's another way we can bless them, and it's right there in verse 13. We can love peace in the church. Have a look at that again. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. Paul speaks of how we should honour Christian leaders, and then he asks them, the congregation, to be at peace with one another. If you've decided you love submitting to Christ and his word, our ministry team live and their labour is directing you to Christ, you'll want nothing to get in the way of that ministry. It's the ministry that will present you to Christ. That team's hard work to get God's word to you, a lack of peace is going to mess it up, isn't it? I have to say, as warden, you are a great church. I don't know of any horrible forest fires of wars going on among you. Maybe until today. But that does not mean that there's not little roots of bitterness that need to be dealt with in each of us. I had a friend recently come and help me dig out dandelions, and I didn't realise what a great pleasure it is to pull those things out. And there's so much more root there than you expected. Roots of bitterness shouldn't be left lying around, much like dandelions. Look at this. Look what he says, that the sort of things that bring peace. We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. This list of commands is a challenge in some way to in all of us. There's something in there for anyone. If we're going to work on our relationships with one another like this, then there'll be peace in the church. Then the word will be unhindered as it's ministered to us. And it'll be a huge encouragement to our ministers. They see us doing this, one for another. And you are doing that. Do it more and more. Is there a relationship in the youth group where forgiveness needs to be given for hurtful things that have been said in jest? Do you know of one like that? Do you need to forgive a family member for tension, backbiting, that needs to be brought out into the open, forgiven and peace sought? Are there long-standing marriage issues? That's time you sat down and prayed with another couple regarding and started on a road to forgiveness and peace. Is there a thing that you are deeply disheartened about and have not shared with anyone? What holds you back? Why not share it so that you can be encouraged? Why do this? To bless us all here and to bless our ministry team by seeking peace. The peace that Jesus himself was won for us on the cross. Yesterday at the ordination, we had these words read to us by the bishop, Jay, to David Thompson and the other ordinand, and I assume that Dave Clancy had very similar words read to him as his ordination. Never forget how great a treasure is placed in your care. The church you must serve is Christ's spouse and body, purchased at the cost of his life. Remember that you will be called to give an account before Jesus Christ if it should come about that the church or any of its members is hurt or hindered as a result of your negligence. You know the greatness of the fault and the judgment that will follow. It's a high and serious calling being given to those who must give account before Christ regarding the bride of his church. Hold them in highest regard. and love because of this work. Bishop Jay just also then spoke these words: you've heard these persons respond to God's call of love and serve him as presbyters. You will accept, will you accept them as presbyters of the Church of God? And we who were all gladly represented, representing you all there, did gladly respond. We accept them gladly, we all said. But then Jay asked us this: will you support and encourage them in this ministry? And we all said, we will, by God's grace. To support and encourage them means what we've just been speaking about. It means we will love submitting to the word. It means we will love their work among us and will love peace in the church. So will you? Okay. Will you support and encourage them in this ministry? Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay then, as warden then, I will do my best to hold you to what you have just promised, hold you and me to what you've just promised before God. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, I pray that we would love our ministry team, and therefore we pray often for them, knowledgeably, specifically for our team, and seek to bless their hard work amongst us, especially by humble, repentant, faithful service to the body, maintaining peace. Please, Lord, by your grace, enable us to do this with joy and for your glory. Amen. Thank you very much.